place.
Yep, we live. Well, baffled, I didn't say the word. I bet he'll be doing this in the smacking his forehead right now.
Is he like the sound engineer?
Yeah. So now it's back. So I've clicked record. We're just gonna start. Yeah, if it goes, whatever. If it goes, it goes. And on this side, yeah. So this one is recording too. All right, let's start. All right, no worries, boss. He basically owns Radio Africa now.
Oh, is that Mr. Lai?
Mm. Right. Actually, let me do my little... So... Yeah. Day one. With the one, the only... you get me, Nikki? We'll be sitting down, chopping it up, all about entrepreneurism.
So,
what are your expectations?
Fun.
Alright.
I'm hoping to have fun and be entertained.
Alright. Well, I don't be entertained now.
You have to be.
Alright, let's go.
You have to entertain me.
Red or black?
Let's do black, because the red is going to clash back.
Alright, no worries. Sit down. Yes. Hey, make yourself comfortable.
Let's do this.
Yes.
Let's bring my tripod and get some recording. But
yeah, you should have.
I forgot.
Would have. I mean, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for.
And again, it's the first of many.
Yeah.
Time, so don't worry, you didn't bring the tripod, there'll always be another time.
I was gonna say, I better come back another time.
Yeah, well, since you
when you're like on episode like 200, I'll be like, wait, who was his first guest? I think we should do the 200th episode, should be
the landmark first, to
yeah.
bring back. Okay,
yeah,
well, since you're my first guest,
mm-hmm.
you reserve the honor to choose when you want to come back. So, since you said 200. It
no,
means
that's a staple because you're going on.
Back, yeah, back. You see my point is you know I'm going to do well, so
yeah.
you're like, yeah, at 200 I'll come back. So yeah.
Or we could do it every 50. Come at 50, 100, 150, 200. Maybe we should do that. I'll think about it since I have the feel powerful.
You have the bread and the knife.
Yeah, I'm thinking power is in my hand.
Actually, bread, no, the yam and the knife. Let's go African way. The yam and the knife.
Yeah, I'm in full control.
Right. I mean, yo, it's been a day. I mean, a long day, and we just started. You know what?
Yeah.
What I was thinking, yeah, I was like, yeah, it's just obviously there's aspirants. You have the school runs. You have all of that madness. But then I was like, I wanted it to be like a breakfast club.
Oh.
You know, when you watch them, you see them with shades because they didn't sleep because they were probably partying
yeah.
or doing whatever, and then they have to come in.
We're not here right now. We're here in body.
Yeah,
not
body.
Not much soul.
Not, yeah. Separate spirit from
just,
body.
Yeah, whatever you get out of me is what you're getting. Yeah, I hear that.
Nah, but right now you're early. You've done your normal. You're probably on your caffeine rush.
Exactly. This is my morning caffeine.
So you're good to go then.
Yes.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the DIY Digest podcast, episode 1.
Whoop.
0101. And I'm your host, your gracious, humble, and just trying to get there. Yeah. The name is Diamond Bay, as I go by stage name, or just call me Beltus. And I'm here with
Hikmat Adamu. I'm the founder of Unique Creations,
mm-hmm.
where we create amazing events, memorable events for people. But we're taking it steps further by hosting our own events to make impact in the community. With that, we have a gala that we launched for children, the only children gala in Northwest and I think UK, and I don't know if anyone else does around the world, so I'm not going to claim that yet. So let's just say the only children gala in the UK. So we launched that last year, so that's going to be a yearly thing. And I'm also the founder of Hikma Consultancy, where that's my professional bag. So the other side is my social side.
Yeah.
Now my professional vibe is at Hikma Consultancy, where I help small, medium-sized enterprises with quality compliance, making sure what they are trying to do is what they are really doing. So yeah, that's me in a little nutshell.
Right, and both, you're a founder of both companies.
Yeah.
So totally self-employed. We don't work for the man.
The man's good. The man's good. We have to work for the man at some point. You can't just jump in.
Mm.
You know, like the man's not bad. The man gets you there. It's just, and some people are meant to work for the man.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But
I mean, I know you gotta like mention the fact that you feel like entrepreneurs are born.
Mm.
So yeah, X-Men shit then. I guess working for the man is good. It means if entrepreneurs are born, not everybody's cut out for it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I quite believe in that. It's not for everybody.
Mm.
It's fun, but it doesn't mean you can't do well. It doesn't mean you can't make money. If it's about money, if you want to do entrepreneurship and it's about money, you're not going to last too long, I don't think. Personal opinion. It's got to be about passion. So you just keep showing up when no one is there to see you. You show up. So that part, not everyone can do that, because some people like, I like to do this at this fixed time, and once I'm done, I'm done. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just some people can't rest. They just have to keep going and keep going. And if they're an entrepreneur, that's good for them. But if you know that, I just want to do this thing in this time and I'm done, just stick to that too. And do what you do in that time, make it so good. Make it the best effectiveness you can give to it, and you can still make it. So people that are entrepreneurs, I don't know, think we're all mad, crazy, because it's not peaceful.
Yeah.
It's not peaceful, and you don't make money straight away.
Nah, we don't want peace, we want problems.
Always.
Yeah,
always.
But another thing to you, I don't know, like, if you agree with me, I think the term entrepreneur is just used loosely these days. Mm. People throw it around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it don't really matter. And I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. But the word to you, like, what does it really mean? What's the true essence of being an entrepreneur? Why did you have to laugh like that?
Entrepreneur to me is hustle and grind.
Okay.
Building something to work and serve a purpose. And it kind of starts with you. And you, as the entrepreneur, you're going to build this thing. And to build anything, even let's look at a house. If you want to build a house, you're on your own and you've been told to build this house. You have to first design the house. How is it going to look? You know, what everyone wants to see is this finished, beautiful house, right? You have to design it, make sure it's functional, make sure it's got systems in place, make sure what you say would, you know, when you open the tap works. If you want two bathrooms, what kind of bathroom? Full bath, half bath? You're the only one thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to now bring the right people in. If you need a plumber and you go and get an electrician with plumber experience, don't be shocked if you have problems. So you need to make sure you get the right people in. So to me, an entrepreneur does all of that. And a lot of people would just happily be the electrician, you know?
Mm.
So, and if you've seen it as, yes, okay, I just want to build a house and I'll just employ everybody, you could fail straight away if you don't plan it well. So an entrepreneur has to really think it through. You have to be very strategic. How am I going to do this? When do I need this? Do I need this? And what can I do later? What can I delegate? What works? What doesn't work? What's realistic? What's not? And then how do I fund it? Where do I get the money from? An entrepreneur does all of those things. And then when I've built this house, is it for me or is it to be sold? You know, it could be like block of flats. Now you need to sell the house. The entrepreneur is the one thinking about that. How am I going to now sell these flats? How am I going to do this? The entrepreneur does all of that. And that's how I define it. You're the hustler. You're the one really doing it and grinding. And no one sees that person. Everyone just sees this massively beautiful built house. And they go, who did it? Builders did that. Oh, wow. Well done. You did really well. And you're now, you know, collecting your flowers and doing that. Like, you know, you got this. And you're thinking, do you guys know I didn't sleep for like 4 weeks? Do you guys know I used to be about 20 kg heavier? And I prefer, you know, no one sees that side. So that's how I interpret an entrepreneur. You're just a hustler, the grinder, thinking about all and everything. And no one sees that. Everyone just sees this house. And I'm really trying to let people really think about playing ground.
Yeah, but like with all the the grind, the struggle, whatever that you've highlighted, what made you, what motivated you to choose the path? Because like, anyways, yeah, what motivated you to choose? Let's start with that. Like, why did you choose?
There's some days I'm asking myself the same question. There's some days I'm thinking, but why? Can you not just... Oh, God. I think this is where it comes to where it's like your why has to be strong. Your why in just doing that has to be so, so important, because that's what makes you get up at 2 or 3 a.m. to get some things done, or make you stay up till 2 or 3 a.m. to get things done. I want to be an entrepreneur because I do want that finished house at the end. And in that finished house, I've now built a lot of understanding, knowledge that I can now share with my family, and my family can now benefit from this house I've built. That's essentially what it is. I want my family to have a very good standard of doing things. And when people say time, flexibility and things, it's not that you get a lot of time freedom as an entrepreneur. You don't. Like, I've not slept earlier than 1 a.m. this week, and I've been working all week as well. And I'm up at 7 with my kids. So why do I keep doing that? Because I know I'm at my prime right now. You know, my kids are, they're not babies, but they're not older either. They're in the middle. And I've got energy in me, and I've got all my brain juices flowing. I can get a lot done in my prime and then enjoy that house at the end. And my kids can enjoy that. I might not have time flexibility, but I can choose, I'm going to stop this for now and take my kids to do that. If you're the electrician, I need you at 2 p.m. You must be there at 2 p.m. Simple. That's being employed, right? I want to design this thing, but I can do it at 2 a.m. And that's fine, I can do that.
Well, I guess if you're not employing an Asian or a black man, but yeah.
Yeah, let's keep it generic. You know, we don't know concept of time.
Nope.
Time is just when we turn up. I turn up at the right time. That's what we say, right?
Of course.
I'm not late, I'm not early.
When I get
I'm
there.
I'm on my time, yeah.
When I get there, then it starts.
As an event planner, that's a headache.
True.
It's the biggest headache.
It's just you invite people to stuff and it's just...
You have to put allowance of time being late. You know, I just start my events now. I tell the people doing the event, I'm like, listen, if we're doing this wedding, people, if they're not here at this time, I just need to be sure that your loved ones are on time and they're seated at that time. And the loved ones are always on time. They're good. It's the extra people that were not... You said 10 o'clock. I'll be there. You now look at the time, 10 o'clock. I'm showering. What do you mean you're showering? I'll be there around 12. Do you think I'll wait for you? We'll start and you will miss out. Next time you would know not to be late.
True.
So anyway, that's a side thing. But why for me is, I don't see why not. I feel I'm one of those people built to do it. I question things too much. I'm very curious about stuff. And that curiosity gets you far and it's fine. And I get bored. I do get bored very quickly. And it's a issue I get told, do you not like peace? I don't know. I don't ever like peace. So I want my kids and my family to have this flexibility and be able to have things that necessarily might not have access to, but just be comfortable. Be very comfortable. If I want something, I can do it. I can get it. And if I can help to do that, yeah, let me be an entrepreneur for a while and grind for a good, I don't know, decade, 2 decades, whatever it is. But I know things are going to be, you know, all right at that point. I don't like being told you have to be there at this time. Eh? Are you God?
So really?
God tells me you pray at this time, that's fine. You're not telling me, ah?
I get it. Like, that's actually the next question I was going to load at you. Is like employment versus self-employment kind of thing. It's like, obviously, one, do you think it's essential, right, when you're pursuing that self-employment route to actually still have to still be employed, to still have a job, a 9-to-5 you need to turn up to?
1,000%. I think if you just quit it, walk away, and you're like, I'm gonna do this now, and just, hey, one, your daddy must either be like Bill Gates or Ted Dollar, Elon Musk, you know, all them people that you know you can fall on a cushion and you're fine. But you won't be driven enough. That's a different story. I think it is imperative that you keep your income flowing, because you know, you hear a lot of stories. I quit my job and then my life changed. I went in one day, my office, my boss said such and such, told him where to go, I packed up, I ground for like a year, and now look at me. That's fine, that's good. But somebody else did the same thing. They grind for the year, they quit because the job said, they grind for the year and nothing happened. They don't have a mic, they're not gonna shout about it. It's the ones that say, I did this. And it does happen for some. But you don't know what privileges they have that's given them that push. That person will not tell you, I had a £30,000 savings.
Definitely.
You know? True. So they know their burn rate. Okay, I have reduced my burn rate and I know I would spend according to my, I would do this. They've not walked into work waiting for anybody to annoy them for them to walk out. They didn't tell you that. They've just said, I walked in, I quit my job, and now look at me. That's fine, but it's not the majority.
True. I think, like, adding to that is like the dangers of social media. I feel because, like, it doesn't show, like, or it doesn't glorify the process. It's always the wins.
Yeah.
It doesn't even talk about the losses.
No.
Because sometimes it seems like, oh, that's the one thing they tried and it worked. But, like, a lot of times you find out they've tried numerous things before they actually got there. It's like I was reading through this article yesterday. I stopped on it, like, and I was like, oh, it'll be dope for tomorrow. And he was just talking about the guy who I think developed or constructed Alibaba.
Okay.
And it was just how much he failed in life to a point, it's like a perpetual failure, kind of. You know, that like, it was fail after fail. It's like he went to school, he didn't pass exams. Like, you know, it was that bad.
As well,
yeah,
you know?
It was that bad. Like, nothing, it was from China. Well. Yeah, it, like, he was, was it McDonald's came to China at a certain year, 20 people employed, he was 20th. They employed 19. They didn't give him. That's a bad,
like, how can you secure McDonald's?
Trust me, like, it was just one bad story. But the good thing out of it is he didn't give up. That was just
that's
it.
The thing.
He didn't give up. He kept going. Eventually, he went to America. I think he applied, was it for what university? One of the big universities, not Yale. Anyways,
Harvard.
I think he applied like 20 times, he got rejected. And then he sort of like went Silicon Valley, one of them ones. Then he came up with the idea. He obviously studied IT and developing site coding and stuff. So he started working on the idea of Alibaba. He was rejected anyways. People thought it was just a dumb idea.
What do you have? What
he
got to
he
offer?
Stayed on it. He was like, yeah, I believe in it. And now he's one of the richest men in China, or if not the richest man. He's a billionaire. So anyways, yeah, moral of the story is like, just stick to it.
How many people would have told you that story that
exactly
it failed?
They don't show that part.
No.
They don't show that part. Not so many show that part. And I think it's like, you guess, a lot of people get misled down this. It's too easy. I remember obviously coming off quarantine, or it's not even coming off, because I think quarantine or lockdown birthed this whole wave.
DIY mindset.
Yeah, this whole wave of, yeah, thank you. Like, yeah, people, yeah, you get me.
Get you.
But yeah, it birthed this whole movement, and which is dope to see. I mean, I don't know if you agree, like, part of why I think, okay, the time management, having my own time, that people say, we know it's a scam. Really, when you get into it, you realize there's the time. It's not timing at all. But I think the big part of it for me is legacy. It's just, all right, if we look at it this way, majority of what we consume is family owned by other families, and you wear Gucci, it's Versace, people's last names. You get me?
Yeah, that brands to you, but that's their name.
It's people's last names. It's bigger than just the brand. It's steeped in families who've hustled, grounded, made.
Yeah,
obviously, again, if you the horror story behind how many times I probably failed trying to do it. It will keep you up at night, but it's where we are with where what they've achieved. I think the difference with some of them, like I think is the second thing you mentioned, it was delegating, teamwork, and which is why I said legacy, because sometimes we're not the A or B all of those ideas. It's we can start it, but build it to a point and leave blueprints where the next family member can continue where you stopped.
Exactly.
So it's like then you're building for the future. It's like I'm just putting it or setting it up as Lego bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can take it and make the part fit.
Yeah.
The idea was that puzzle piece. Now, okay, you lot can build it as you go.
You have to trust. You know what I mean? That's a very good point. I really like that because I think a lot of us sometimes do build for just us.
Yeah.
And it's like, I need to build something that works for me because I'm the one doing all the hard work. I need to reap the fruit of all this labor. And that's all well and good.
Yeah.
And then how about your kids? What are you setting up for them? And so people are like, oh, I've done this, so the kids will be all right. Me too, I've been struggling. So my kids too, they too. Like you said, Gucci, Versace, that's like generational wealth. Even the current people running it, they might not know the full story. I've not watched that Gucci movie yet with Lady Gaga, but I want to watch it. But I'm sure it tells you the core of how it really went. But I don't think a lot of us have that legacy mindset sometimes. Some people do, but...
don't have the means.
Yeah.
Or don't have who to... show them the ropes, mentor them.
Or you think, I'll lay the foundation and my child would come and say, no, I want to be this instead.
But I think it's because we lack that mentorship, which, let's shout out to them, the Igbo people have done it over, like, time immemorial. It's been their whole MO, right? It's, again, another topic we'll delve into before I get sidetracked, is the whole educational need, like, you know, with our parents is go school, and it's like sometimes what are you schooling for though? If you know, and which is talking about the Igbo people, it's the traditional sense of schooling is different. It's still because business is still a school.
Yes,
like you still learn how to operate a shop, sell spare parts, whatever, know how who to contact to get those parts, what parts go with what cars. Like it's a whole educational process. So and they have this, I'll go away, work with my father's friend or my uncle here in Lagos. I work in his shop for 5 years. He sets up my own shop and I go and I train all these other guys and I set up their own shop. So in a way, it's legacy. Sometimes not family related, but it is community related.
Yeah.
It's tribalistic at best, but...
yeah. But it works.
But it works. And it works. You can see the success stories behind that idea, that principle, that ideology. Ideology. That's the word. Today, my network is all over the place.
Yeah, it's okay.
But yeah, it's... And I feel to crack the entrepreneur code, it's... we need to have that mindset. The mindset of mentorship. The mindset to share information. Because another thing I was like realizing is lack of information for a lot of things. I just feel like you want to do something, and but if you're not informed enough, you start and fail easily because you don't like you fumble. Access. Like trust me, I fumbled a lot of startups.
I can imagine
A lot of startups. I've tried a lot, and some of them have died in my brain.
Yeah,
where,
that part too.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah. I think I overanalyze, overthink it before I even get to start it. I'm like, oh no, I tell myself it's not going to work before
you've even got there.
Yeah, I just like, no.
I think we all have that though. And I think that kind of thing, I think it's important to have a good set of people around you. So when you have that idea in your brain, my first thing is I'll run it by my husband and say, I'm thinking about this thing. You know, when you're in the shower, those are the times you have the peak thinking. I don't know why, because I don't have access to pen and paper. But anyway, I'll come out, tell my husband, so he could say, okay, that's cool. He'll validate it. I'm like, okay, cool. That's not his field, but he's validating it because he's seeing the issue. Or he could tell me that, nah, it won't work because of 1, 2, 3. And that's it, he's gone. Then once he's done that, then I have some good friends around me that are business owners and they do a good job of it. I'll go to them next. I'm thinking about this thing. They'll now tell me something different. I had an idea the other day. Spoke to one of my friends. hi, I'm thinking about this. She said, oh, did you know that this, that thing you're thinking about is being done by dad, dad. I said, what do you mean? I thought it was my first idea. She said, oh, it's not. So I went home, started researching that.
Mm.
Then I told her, I said, I've researched it. I'm still going to do it. She said, of course you can still do it, but it can work.
Mm.
So that's another person validating it. Then I have, in Unique Creations, we have a business manager. I go to her with everything because she's very cutthroat and she's very... cutthroat is the best word.
She's about the numbers.
She's about... But so I go to her, I'm thinking about this, 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 and this. So I just sent her my notes. I said nothing else. I sent her notes and said, I'm thinking about this. And this is 2 days after we did our event on Saturday.
Mm.
I sent it to her on like Monday. I said, don't hate me. I know you're still recovering. But look at this. And she said... So I, can we not talk about this now, please? I'm still trying to... I said, yeah. So we have a meeting tonight to talk about it. But once you do that and you have the right people giving you the right information, I don't want to talk to someone that's just going to knock me down with just for the sake of humbling me or knocking me down a peg. So I think it's crucial you have a good amount of people around you. And they might not even know the answer, but they've got access to their network. So if you stay connected, and that's why I think it's good to have good network, because you can have a network of, you know, I can go to a party tomorrow and I'm in network.
Mm.
But it's got to be a functional network. There's a saying that says your network is your net worth.
Yeah.
If you really drill into that and think about that enough, if you have an idea or you're working on something, before you fumble it up, you do so much, not even market research yet, just validating the idea and seeing, okay, are the people around me into, okay, I'm thinking about this, can you point me in the right direction? Cool. You talk to that next person. Hi, I'm thinking about this. So by the time you've validated it around your circle and in an outer circle, you're okay, you can now get started. But if you let it die within you, or you tell the wrong person, it's dead already, and it could be the next Alibaba, and you're just there like, I've told this person, and they've already knocked you down, you trust that person to give you a good idea, but they're actually humbling you a little bit. It's dead. And I think that's, it's something a lot of people miss out on. Or some people who just have an idea and just run with it. And I mean, run with it. Somebody gave an analogy of at the event that, imagine opening a barbershop in a town where 90% of everybody is bald. You're now wondering why nobody came in. Do you know? You've thought about it. Didn't have a barbershop in this place. You know what? I'm going to open one. You didn't even do simple market research to say, actually, everybody there, 90% are hairless. And the even 10% that are not hairless are women. Who's going to... You're not saying the business is not doing well.
Again. My village people.
My village people. No. You know those things. So sometimes people don't do enough due diligence and we just run. And I'm not joking. I did that as well. I think you have to do that to learn from it as well. Run with it. Or then you tell the wrong people.
Yeah. I think too, it's like people be trying to do this blue ocean analogy as in, I want a niched market. It's like what you mentioned, right?
Something no one's done before.
Yeah. Because there's things, there's nothing new under the sun though. It's like, if you really think about it, there's, and to your point, it's like when you called your friend and she was like, oh, you know, this and this, I already do that. Another thing I've realized is when the universe gives you an idea, it gives like 10,000 of, like, well, let me not over exaggerate it, but so many other people have that idea. Not the same, but they have that idea. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's who acts upon it that brings it. Who actions it, brings it into existence is the key person. Because I do music. Mm. And so sometimes, like, you hear a song an artist puts out, you're like, swear down, that's my idea. Swear I was thinking about that last week.
But I don't know me, they don't know. There's no thread between
us. Like, and I did put it out to a point where I was like, oh, they copied it or somebody sent it to him. Nah, it was in my head. I came up with the same hook, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably cadence is here and there, but it's my idea to a T.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, how? You get me?
How?
And then it just so happens they were dedicated enough to put it out. You were doubting yourself. That's why you didn't even put it out.
Self-doubt.
You didn't go out and record it. Now you're like, you're punching the air. Because
that's what it comes to, isn't it? If you now release yours today and they release theirs tomorrow, you're going to win because you had a date.
You had it first, yeah.
It's like, okay, what date did they come out? 31st of Jan. How about you? 1st of Feb. Sorry, simple. Do you know each other? No. Do you have a thread with each other? No. So who's winning that one?
So it's like, bro, you copied me.
You copied me? I don't even know your father. Yeah. Do you know?
So it's like...
How many people act on it? I love that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Because that's why when an idea comes out, when you think about, you know, when like Uber and all those things come out, when people start using it, you think, this is such a good idea. Why didn't I think of it? No, this person thought of it. 20,000 other people, thought of it.
Something similar. They might not have thought of calling it Uber, but you know what I mean?
It was the same.
They might not have called it Amazon in their brain, but it was, and it's just,
yeah,
it goes and it goes.
And it builds and builds and, yeah, I'm very
well. Oh, yeah, which is, it leads us to, what was your vision or goal when you first started out? I mean, with your companies.
Vision or goal?
Yeah, like, one, have you at, like, where your company is at right now, is that what you had in mind? Is that what you set out thinking for the company? Was that your vision for it?
So, for Unique Creations, the events company, the reason I actually started that, I still remember the day I thought, okay, this is going to be a thing. I insert myself in people's celebrations. So, you tell me today your birthday is coming up. Trust me, I'm asking. So, have you got your venue? What day? This. You didn't ask me. It's just the thing I do. And if my friends are doing something, I'm the one on the phone. Have you done this, this, and this? Then I became known for that. Then one of my friends, we're at another friend's house, and she said, register this business because there's only so many parties they can do, and you enjoy it. Register it as a business. People pay for those things. And then obviously, once one friend suggests, all of them now come and gang up on you. Yes, if you do not do it, we'll sit. So I registered as a business. And the point, I had to now sit down and think, what is this business for? What is the purpose? And the purpose essentially is, if you're going to have an event, make the most out of it. You're going to spend money, a lot or a little, or whatever it is. You're going to spend time as well, a lot of mental stress. You have to make the most out of it. And that's what I wanted to do. So my vision for that was, any event someone wants to do, you have to get the absolute most out of it. You need to enjoy it. Do you know how many people have planned weddings and planned massive events and they didn't enjoy it? They had the worst time. I've heard someone say, if I could do my wedding again, I wouldn't do it because I had the worst time. Or if I did that, why?
True.
You know, so make the most out of it. Have it be impactful. Let people really enjoy it. And that's why I have different parts in my business. I have a thing called Sense Jeff. I still don't know anyone that really does that part. So I can plan your event. I can coordinate it where you've planned it all and I just execute on the day. Or I could sense check it where you're saying, I want to do everything myself, but I want to run it by someone that knows what they're doing or they've done it before. Mm-hmm. And we'll have an in-depth call, in-depth conversation where we'll go through everything.
So kind of like a checklist.
Yeah. So it's like a sense check form. You know, you see things better when you're in hindsight. Mm-hmm. When you're not into it, you're now telling someone else. So I offered that too because I really do want people to get the most out of it. I don't have to be at your event. I don't have to do it, but make the most out of it. That's the vision for that. For Hikma, which is a consultancy company for quality assurance, I've worked for big pharma companies. I'm not going to mention names or anything. Big pharmas, big life science companies, and I've worked in the quality operational side. And that's my bag. That's what I came out of uni and did that straight away because it's in the STEM world. And with that, while obviously moving and progressing in my career, one, I've been very, very blessed with the companies and the bosses I've had, brilliant people. And it was SMEs need this quality things, but they can't afford it. So startups and things like they can't afford it. However, the big people, they know the importance of these things. They have departments for. If you go to a big pharma, they've got huge departments for quality. Several departments doing several things, big overheads and stuff like that. But smaller companies don't have that, but they can benefit from what quality is supposed to give you.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I can help with that. And people think quality is very boring, it's a compliance tick. No, it's not. It's actually more, if you do it properly, it's good. So I thought, let me bring that in. Let me help the SMEs actually get this benefit of what quality is. Because people should get the most out of anything they're doing. Simple. Whatever you're going to do, do it well. There's no point overexerting yourself and not getting what you need to do because it's maybe do it and do it well with not too much resources, not too much stress. Just execute well and consistently do it right. Mm. That's all I'm about, really. And I didn't know I was really about that until I started finding myself in these spaces. And I thought, oh, so I'm just someone that likes to make the most out of anything you're doing. You know, it's, oh, so that's who you are. Okay. And that's the vision. Help SMEs really achieve what they need to achieve by helping them with quality frameworks. And the other side, events, just make the most out of your event. Enjoy it. Have fun. There's no point. What's the point of spending 20K on an event and you're crying the next day because the photographer took a bad picture? Or the photographer did not come when you were doing your first dance?
True. sell your things, or you didn't even book a photographer.
You know, I had an event once on the day. We spoke the day before, me and the photographer, you know. Where are you? Oh, no, I'll be there tomorrow. Okay, I'll see you at 2. See you there. 1:30, you're not there yet. Fine, 2:30. Sir, phone's not going through. You're not answering the phone, nothing. And the event is happening. They celebrate until today, does not know that thing happened. Because I was then on the phone, tapped into my photographer colleagues or every. I need a photographer yesterday, please. People reached out, branched out, everyone came in and really helped me. And like I said, a celebration doesn't know. And a photographer was on seat in an hour, came out, did everything good. So imagine you're the celebrant, your photographer did not come.
That's.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, but that's. I think the problems, obviously, with the experience, the know-how, the connections, like importance of networking, that's how you could resolve that issue ASAP, right? But it's like when you're starting up and you can just rely on friends and what you can get at the moment, because finance is a very big part of it, and you rely on friends. And I think that's another, like, I won't say disrespect, but sometimes friends are very nonchalant on your dream. On
it's like not if theirs,
if
is
they
it?
Yeah, if they don't, if visions and dreams don't align, it's just what it is.
Yeah.
And friends promise that DJ job.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, don't worry, bro, I'll handle the DJing. Or yeah, don't worry, I have a camera, don't I? Yeah, I'll take the pictures for you. And then on the day, it's like, bro, where are you?
Stories. Oh, this and this happened.
Stories. Oh, guy, that camera, I borrowed it to one guy. He didn't bring. You'd be like, wait, and you had to wait today to tell me.
While the event is happening this second, you're now telling me that there's no camera.
What do you want me to do?
It's like, and that's the thing. Some people don't take themselves seriously as well. So if you want an event, you now call a photographer, and the photographer is not really, they just do it for hobby, something they enjoy, but you're like, you're good at it, but they don't want to make it into a business. It's not their passion, they're not invested. In the end, they think of it as, I'm doing you a favor, and if I don't want to do this thing, I don't have to do it. You're not paying me, you're not doing none of, they're not committed.
But then sometimes, even when you offer to pay, it's still the same, as you said, it's because you're the one. It's not even your dream. It's like you said, say you see a talent in one of your friends, right? And it's like, yo, you're so good at this, why don't you say your friends advise you to open a business, and you were not really ready to open the business, but you know it's your hobby. You're just the sort of person who likes to plan parties and make sure they go right, they go accordingly. You could have been told, yo, Iggy, register this. And even if they at the end forced you to register, you probably go into debt doing it because it wasn't really you.
Or take no bookings.
Yep, you just have it sitting there.
Yeah.
So it's what I realized. Like, sometimes it's like, I'll tell my friends, like, bro, you're good at this, man. Let's make it. And then you start getting mad because I'm the wolf. It's like, why am I forcing you? Every time it's your calling, it's your dream, it's your talent,
that
bro.
That thing is, you're so apt with that because you can't force people. And it hurts you because you're of the mindset of, I know what this thing can do. But if they don't have that mindset of trying to do that, it's not. So imagine, like I said before, entrepreneurs are kind of born. So this person is not an entrepreneur at all. They just want to turn up and do the job. You're not telling them to do a business. To tell them that there'll be times they'll be up at 3 a.m. as a photographer editing. Because you need to, you know, send those pictures in a few days. All of those things. Some people just cannot do it. And they'd rather just say, oh, I've got 10 minutes to myself, I'll go and take pictures of whatever. Kids, let's do this. And the pictures are amazing. But that's just the time they want to give that. But you're like, I know the possibility. You can do. And they would go, yeah, you're. But they need that inside voice. It's not just from you. Because you could now say, I'm busy, and you might not talk to them for 3 months. They need to have that inner drive. And I think that's what the issue is, because That's the clash, where you have someone of that mindset and someone of not that mindset. Because you're pushing, and you're thinking, I have my own that I could be pushing. But they need to be constantly pushed. After a while, you just say, you're not hungry. If you're hungry, you'll go to the kitchen and start cooking.
True.
But you want me to bring you a finished food? I can't. I don't know how to make the food. You're the best chef to make this thing. But if they're not hungry, they're not gonna go, they'll drink cornflakes. Do you know what I mean? They're like, nah, just, I'm not that hungry. I don't want to make lasagna, which is, you know, long. I'll just have cornflakes. And you're like, well, your lasagna is the best thing. You're the only one that can do.
Yeah, bro, it's healthy. It's packed with this goodness. It's
you're like, running yourself. Nobody sends you. Please, like, let me drink my cornflakes.
Cornflakes, okay. Gary and granola, I'm
that's
fine.
That's even fine. Do you understand? So that's how we see it. Because you can see all the thing within them. But if they don't feel
it. It comes from within.
Yeah, all you have to do is motivate. And that's all you have. And after a while, you just have to say, you know what? That's on you, you know? I have someone very close to me, similar. We fight all the time on the phone. Because any small thing, or the inconvenience, with work, or with this. Like, when you do know you have this talent that you can be tapping into. I don't want to talk about it now. And there was a time, they had like a year that they could have done this thing. And it was like month 9. I was telling them, month 1. Oh, why are you this? Do this, do this. Month 9, they said, what have I done for 9 months? I said, I could have done this, I could have done that. Oh, really? Do you remember when? I don't start this. Hey, you know? So sometimes you have to even let them realize it sometimes, you know?
I think it's because another thing, though, the consultant in you, because of your consultancy side, it's like, I should be charging you for this advice, free advice.
For my free motivation, trying to get you to...
I think you would cherish it more if I was charging you.
That's the other part. It's like, you know what?
Anything gotten for free is not appreciated.
It's not appreciated.
Like, I should be charging really you. Not. Bro, you want game? You know what? £50 for 2 hours. Transfer it and let's talk.
I'm not even joking. That is so true. It's one of those things, like, you don't appreciate what I'm giving you for free.
Yeah.
You could, but if someone else came and they charged you, you'll take it for... This person I was saying that was motivated, she was at the event that I just did, the Let's Get Real About Self-Employment. And all the 4 speakers spoke and they listened. And I said, excuse me, everything they said, she said, to be honest, everything they said, I've heard those things from you. But it's not from 4 different people. I said, oh, really? Yeah, I've been hearing these things from you for a long time. But now that I've heard it from the outsiders, I'll start implementing. I said, oh, it's because you're not taking me seriously.
Yeah, but that is my fault.
It's my fault.
It's because you know me.
And now I'm talking to this person. I've talked to them since then. And they're like, I'm working on this. I'm doing this. I'm like, this is somebody so close. And you're thinking, okay.
But it's the same, like, to veer out a bit. Like people in relationships and whatnot, partners say stuff, it's like, pastor say stuff, it's like,
did you?
Light bulb moment.
You now tell the partner, that partner will now be angry. Did I not just? I'm not even joking. My husband does that. My husband would tell me something, and I'm, whatever. And it would be like this. And I'll hear it from outside. Such and such, go to him and say, hi. They said that. They look the bombastic side.
Why you don't get a gay? It's like, woman.
I did that twice. He told me twice. Do you know? Since then, when he tells me anything, I'm like, I'm going to listen to you now. And I listen to him because he'll say it and he might just say it out of, this. But it's true. You now hear it from outside. You know, I told you this thing. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry. But obviously, that's not the first thing we see as women. I'm like, hey, you didn't say better. You didn't say it like this. You didn't say it like, what you mean? That's not what you said. They not give you receipts. You're not like, okay, sorry. But that's like maybe a week later. You don't do, represent the women.
Sometimes your quick rebut is like, oh, so you've been keeping notes. I've not been keeping notes.
So you remembered when, you remember the date you told me this, yeah? Were you waiting for me to come and tell you that?
But you don't remember anniversaries, yeah? That's you.
So you remember that, but I'm telling you that. It's my birthday next month and you're looking at me sideways.
You're a funny one. So, the next one. How many times did you have to pivot or change direction?
In this business or in business in general?
No, I mean, in your quest or your journey into being an entrepreneur.
I won't say pivot too much because the goal has always been clear. Make the most out of whatever you're doing. So I try to keep that as whatever I'm doing in regards to events or my consultancy, this is the overarching goal. So if I have an idea or something, I have to go back to that title. Does this thing feed this overarching statement of what I'm trying to do? If it doesn't fit in, and I mean, if you see my notes, it's brainstorms. I do a lot of brainstorms because we could talk about something and my brain is just doing crazy things. I have to write them all down. So if I put it all down, I go through each one. Does that feed into that? Does this feed in? It doesn't feed, rub it out. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're not clear on that fundamental, you will actually just spiral. You won't even pivot. You will completely spiral and you won't recognize your business anymore. So I think that's important. I didn't just obviously land that, but that's a lot of failures and stuff in businesses. Like you say, it's hard to meet a successful entrepreneur that was the one thing and that was it. You know,
I mean, you're lucky if that happens.
You're lucky. Yeah, I would like to meet one extremely. And just be like, how does it feel? Because they'll feel like a fraud, actually. When they listen to everybody else, they go, it worked out for me. And then everyone's like, really? This is my fifth business. Someone's like, it's my 15th business. And you're telling me one. Anyhow, but I try to keep that because otherwise, shiny object syndrome is called.
Mm-hmm.
And social media, they will make you think, this works for that person. You will now pivot to that, go down, but it doesn't feed in. And you now get lost because what you still want to do is still there. So I always have to remember, and a colleague of mine gave me this advice, write this thing down and put it somewhere you can see all the time. So anytime I'm like, oh, I've got this idea, like I say, you know, when your mind is doing whatever, how does it fit into this? It fits, fine, let's run with it. It doesn't fit. So I won't say I've pivoted too much because I have this thing, like I said at the beginning, this is what I'm trying to achieve. So it keeps me kind of grounded. I'm just more intentional. So I won't just go off because it's dangerous. Because you end up in a rabbit hole of somebody else's thing. Mm-hmm. You now lose yourself. And now you can't come back. And now you're branding, you're doing this, you're doing that. Nah. You know?
But like, is there ever a time though that you've proverbial rock bottom that you've hit? What happened and how did you bounce back?
Rock bottom.
Oh, where things just really went wrong for your business.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time you've experienced that?
So I used to make cakes.
Mm.
It was called Jammy Cakes. And I started that because I felt I wasn't good at anything. I'm not sure if everyone has that. But there's a time I felt I'm not good at. I'm an academic. So I did the school. Uni. Masters, married, kids, all of that. That's, you know, brain, exams, courseworks, whatever. That was me. So I finished and I felt like I didn't have handy skills, things that I can't sew. I can't. So what can I do? So I had funds at the time because I wasn't married and I was working a good job from, you know, academia or whatever. So I started learning to make cakes. YouTube was my best friend. YouTube taught me loads. I bought all the cake things. I went to cakes, bought everything, learned it. Got better at it, good at it. I didn't know how to cost. And I would charge you for a cake that literally just made the cake, not my time, nothing else. And also I didn't have the how to approach people. And I mean, you want to make a cake and I'm just like, okay, sure, yeah, we'll do it, I'll do it. I didn't agree a good price with you, or I come to your price rather than you pay my price. Mm-hmm. All of that was not in place. I just wanted to learn a skill, right? So it got to a point, people were now telling, oh, I want this, I want this. Oh, this is not what I asked for. This is too big, this is too small. And I'm thinking, it's actually my own fault because I didn't have those fundamentals in place to really help properly. Because if you actually go order cake from a good caker, hi, I would like to order a cake, they will send you a form. Fill all of this stuff in. Mm-hmm. They will design it. Everything is key. This disclaimers, everything in there, and this is the cost. And I would not send your cake to you. I would not deliver your cake if you've not paid all of this much or this. The way it's set up, you cannot argue. It's their business, and if you want to go ahead with that, that's what you do. I did not have any of that. I was just like, who wants to make a cake? I'll make a cake. Oh, this is the month. Oh no, I'll pay this much less. Yeah, okay, fine, she better get to make cake. It still fits. I was doing that and I was burning out. My legs were tired because you're on your feet a lot, you're doing this, you're doing that. I had babies at the time. They're still babies now, but they were babies then. They're grown now. And you just go to a point, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't. I was burning out and not making any money out of it. I was breaking even consistently. Mm. And this skill I've now learned, I felt like I was in a good place with it. I felt, okay, if I wanted to improve it and make it better, I could, but I didn't want to anymore. I didn't enjoy it at all. And I hit rock bottom where I was just so, I was just down. I just couldn't get up and show up. People would ask for cakes and I'd like, I'll do it because I don't want to let you down. And I just didn't have the drive for nothing. Then I woke up one time. No, maybe not one day, but I think over a while. It was, okay, you can't stay down. I was still getting paid because I had my job. I was getting paid, not a problem, but my mental was not mentally. I had to then decide, I'm not making cakes anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. And I left my page up, didn't post, didn't do nothing. Someone messaged, you're not doing cakes anymore. No. Ah, why? You were getting so good. I'm not, and I had to make that decision for me. I'm not doing this because I'm not enjoying it. I didn't have a statement of what I was trying to achieve with the cake. Mm. If I had a statement, it was just to learn a skill. I've learned the skill. It's over. It was never a business, but I set it up as a business. I had to just stop. But what I learned for myself is the exploring, the building, and I have more to learn. At this point, I was, you know, academia, I could tell you about textbooks, about what I was doing, but I was learning business, the people side, structure, process. I learned all of that from there. I said,
so those are transferable skills into work.
Into anything. So it was, okay, I can now do this instead. The skills I've learned there, I'm not going to let it waste, because like I said, I get bored. So when I was making cakes anymore, what am I going to do with my time? Once the kids are in bed, I'd watch a bit of TV. I was just watching TV, people making money, and I'm just, no, I can't do that. So it was then, what next? So the way I bounced back essentially was just understanding what I learned and then thinking, okay, how can I now apply this to something else? How can I now take this further and then taking it into something else? And then I did another business that didn't work because I realized I didn't enjoy that. That's a different one. Then it was, okay, what do I like? What do I enjoy? So then you listen to people. And like I said, my friend said, set this up as a business. You're good at it. Fine, let's do it. And now, so I learned more from myself, but I had to do those businesses that were going to fail because I learned different things from them. So even when you crash, it's allow yourself grace. Allow it. But rather than staying down, you have to get back up again and take the lessons.
Yeah, it's like somebody says, you don't fail, you fall.
You fall.
So just
get up.
Get back.
Yeah.
Yeah, get
you
back.
You fail when you're not breathing anymore.
Yeah.
When you're not breathing anymore, that's when it's done. It's not over till it's over. You know, so that's the way I can say, okay, I've had, it's failed and I've got up. It's because it failed, but with this way I think entrepreneurs are born. What's within you, and you want to, you will keep going. You can't stay down. You'll feel sorry for yourself for a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months, whatever it is. Allow it. Give yourself the grace. Go on holiday, travel, do whatever. But you don't stay down. You get back up. Because I was, well, people not say, well, she started that business, now she's doing another one. Well, it's their mouth. It's my life. They can say anything. True. They can think anything. But what I'm fighting for has to be clear. And that's also why it's important to have good people around you.
Yep.
So they will. They will tell you those things. It's them. Don't worry about it. But if you allow the wrong ones to infiltrate your thoughts, you're finished.
So what's been one of your biggest wins so far?
My biggest, outside like my kids, my family.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
Outside just, all that. Yeah, in business. Outside
all of that. In business. In like, is it been a sponsorship? Is it been a partnership with a big brand? What has it been?
This is going to sound weird. It's not going to be any of that.
Okay.
It's going to be an inside win.
Fulfillment of just doing it.
Confidence, no.
Okay.
Confidence. And I can tell you people, I can even direct you to some people I've met or people that knew me maybe 3 years ago. And this version of me is not who they met. Even I meet myself sometimes, I'm like, when did you become this? Confidence and knowing your worth, that's my biggest win. Because now no one can really tell me nothing. My mindset is strong enough. But I had to be in it to develop and grow that way. I'm not confrontational. Then I realized that. But for you to kind of get things done, you have to have some level of confrontational. But while staying true to myself, I've learned how to kind of do that better. Still get what I want without being that person. So my biggest win has been my own personal development. And I think that's really important. I really do, because if you're not growing, people would just finish you, honestly. And being able to kind of come out my shell a lot more and be more than I can be. I have voices of people in my head that tells me, you got this, you know. I don't have, no one is telling, there's no doubts in my head. And before it, oh, maybe I can't, you know, like you were saying before, self-doubt and you're scared. And the difference is the person that showed up and the person that had it as an idea. I used to be that person. And my biggest win has to be, is now being, no, those voices are replaced. There's nothing I can't do. In my head, I can meet Beyonce tomorrow. Maybe not tomorrow, but I can get myself to a place, where I can be in the same room as someone of that hierarchy. You know? So it's like, that's been my biggest win, to be able to have that mindset shift that I can actually do anything, but be realistic about it. I can do it, and nothing, no one can tell me I can't. You can't. But you could tell me that 3 years ago, and I would go in a shell and no. Jigger. So yeah. That's my biggest accomplishment so far. But if I was to go with the business, it was the gala, the children's gala in December last year. Mm. I thought about the idea, like I said, brainstormed it, and the fact I was able to execute it and it got what it needed to get. I was dead for like 2 days. Like my, I was gone for like 2 days. My body, nothing functioned.
But after it, you felt like Superman. I mean, you know, Superwoman.
When you go into those things and you come out, you're thinking, okay, all right, you know. So that was one of my biggest ones, and I'm so glad it happened. So
nice.
I don't know what my biggest one's gonna be after, but I've met people. Of course,
you always set the bar higher, isn't it? Like, you can only go up. That's another thing. It's like, okay, I've done that one, dusted it.
Next.
My neck, you know, yeah. You mentioned mindset, very important.
Extremely.
Another thing is just speaking things into existence, like writing stuff and wheeling them. Write it down and wheel it. Just like, next year I want to be driving this car. And make yourself drive it. Like, next year I want to meet Beyonce. Wheel it into existence.
You will find your way into that room. Yeah, and you're wondering
that's
what you want to do.
Yeah.
I'm not really care for Beyonce, but I'd rather spend time like a good billionaire that's done business. Like, just give me 10 minutes. Bang, 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 you know?
Oh, so you're one of those 10K or meet, sit down with Jay-Z for 10 minutes. You'll be like, sit down with Jay-Z for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Because that 10K, I will finish it tomorrow. Jay-Z will tell me how to make 50K, you know? And then it will tell me how to now multiply the 50K. So if I took 10K, what am I going to do with it? I'll just buy shoe, buy bag, buy...
True, but
Jay-Z can possibly...
He can.
It has to be a good 10 minutes. It's not just like drinks. No, it's like, let the guy know what's happening here. I'm picking his brain.
Okay.
That's the key. It has to be a constructive one, not just, you know, you meet him in a club while all the music is... No, sir, we have pen and paper, and I'm also recording. Please.
whatever you say will be used as evidence.
Please. So it's not just 10 minutes with like Jay-Z. It is, sir,
this 10 minutes, quality minutes.
Quality minutes. I even ask, can I bring two or three other people? Because I have this strong belief, we all have to win together.
Yeah.
It's lonely at the top. Asake sang that song.
That teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If my friend's making it, I am happy for them. And it means that friend to be my friend.
But that's a winner's mentality, though.
You have to. Yeah.
No, but that's a winner's mentality. To my point, it's like, I think sore losers don't have that mentality, in a sense of, and I'm not just saying sore losers as in they're not winning in life, it's just people don't like to share victory. It's like, then, you know, people will be in this position and they feel like, oh, if I bring Hickey in, she's coming to take my you feel threatened by the next person getting opportunity from you, rather than thinking of, okay, if we two of us in this place, you know what, we can don't think like that.
And that's the best way.
People just feel threatened a lot.
There's a saying in Yoruba. I'm going to say in Yoruba, but I'll interpret it. It says, Igi kan le da igoshe. Igi is a tree. Igbo is like a forest. One tree does not make a forest.
True.
It can't. So you want a forest and you put a tree. I don't understand. That's just a tree in your back garden.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't think like that, like you say. I want to make it. So if I've got a friend that's doing this, come, let's go. I must. And I'll drag you if you want to be dragged. But even I don't want to be dragged. I'm going to leave you.
Because if I keep dragging.
And it's making me tired.
When I get tired, you start dragging me back.
Backwards. So I'm just doing all the heavy lifting.
Yep.
No, I'm going to just, we will hold each other's hands and we'll skip forward together with the same energy. Let's do that. And I think that's important. I think it's so important. I want my friends to tell me their wins, because rather than be jealous or envious, I say it that this is somebody
I can learn. What you can learn from.
I might ask you, so how did you do that thing? Or, okay, my friend is doing this. It means I can do it too. Let's do these things together.
And sometimes it's like I'm not even looking to do what you're doing.
No, we're different people.
Yeah, like I don't know. I don't want to be a consultant. And even if I want to be, probably I want to do music consultancy. So how does that?
We don't even come.
You know what I mean? How does it go?
Can share your problems. I can share my problems. Our problems might interrelate.
Similar solutions. Yeah. But
and you win over there. You win. You meet Jay-Z. And I'm here meeting, who's there? Stephen Bartlett. You know? Different paths, but still this.
But still connected.
You know?
In a sense,
and I think that's what people miss out on, you know? Like, a good community of the right people.
So how do you manage your time, energy, or mental health? Across all these multiple hats you're wearing?
Like I said, I didn't sleep any earlier than 1 a.m. this week.
Yeah, but remember I told you that, well, the other day is like, sometimes like, the idea of keep going, right? Or what keeps me, I'll be like, wait, it's not the same 24 hours we're all sharing.
Sometimes, right?
Like, all these guys making these things happen. Like, in that same 24 hours.
How?
So there was my own complaint. Why do I really need that sleep by 10 p.m.? Like, okay, let me push it a little bit. And then I push it, reach the tire, I say, I'm not going to kill myself.
That's enough. You have to listen to that. I do think that's important because you have to listen to yourself. Mm. There was a time, I think for about 2 weeks, I didn't really do too much business stuff. Because my body was just like, we can't do this right now. And I had to listen to that. And I did what I had to do, but I didn't push any further. So I think that's important. You have to listen.
Because
otherwise your body would just, it could just shut down. And now you're in a hospital because you're dehydrated or something like that.
And that's a setback.
That's either a setback. Now you're out for 6 months instead of just taking the 2 weeks. We have family holidays and I do like to travel a lot with my friends and stuff like that. My first thing that I've now started doing, I don't take my laptop with me. Because that's a problem. Taking a laptop with you, in your head it means I'm working. I'm on holiday, for God's sake. So when I do need to rest, my body starts telling, and I'm quite intuitive to my body, I will listen to say, I need to sleep this time, maybe for 2-3 days. I'm not going to do anything business-like. I won't have any late meetings. All my meetings run quite late as well. So I have that. How do I keep, what's my day-to-day, like, I have 2 boys. So in the morning, it's about the school runs, everybody get ready, we go to school, go to work, do whatever needs to be done. And all those times till about 8 is for my family. So I do whatever work I can do. I am in partial employment, just part-time with this company, because the bills and money still needs to be coming in consistently somewhere. So I'll go into there, and then I'll come home after school, we cook, we still gotta eat. And I have dinner with the kids. We sit down and eat together. Get ready for school the next day, whatever we're doing. When they go to bed at 8-ish. So my kids go to bed 7:38. People, oh, you're so good. I'm like, no, I need peace. That's all it is. And for 30 minutes or so, I'll finish getting ready for school, get ready for the next day. And I do work. That's when the laptop comes out. But I do it with like background noise. So something like Love Island's Big Brother. That's what you'll find me watching. Silly things that does not take too much brain juice, but I feel like I'm still part of the world. So I see the normal adverts of the new things happen. Otherwise, I can actually not watch TV for a long time. I have that in the background on my laptop, do what needs to be done with my businesses and whatnot. Next day we go again. Kids have their clubs. It's all in my calendar. So that's how if I show you my calendar, that's one of my biggest fears, and I pray for that. God, please, let my calendar app never crash. Hey.
Yeah, but it's backed up in the cloud. Well,
let the cloud never crash. Let the cloud not rain. No,
I can feel you. I've lost phones. Those times I was trusting phones. Lost it. Woke up one morning, it just lights out, not turning on. Until now, now I'm still looking at that phone.
Still hoping one day.
It's like everything.
It'll just come back.
You know what? I blame myself though. I should have just backed up things in the cloud. When I was told, I didn't
go online, I was saying back up. It's not backed up since yesterday. No, please back up, because a lot has happened since then. So my calendar is one of the ways I keep myself like that. You know?
Your schedule.
Yeah. Right. And one of the things I still need to work better on is my social life. So I do have friends that we talk a lot on the phone, and I call them, they know themselves. It's on a drive. Another one, I call her during laundry day on Sunday. So when I put laundry away, we do that together on the phone. But I don't physically see them as much because I don't feel I have enough time to see them. You know, so that's something I'm working better on. And you know, the group chats are going off. We've not seen for this long. Can we please do something? Yes, please. But where's the time? So I'm working on that. That's a work in progress. But my calendar is what keeps me
focused.
Yeah. So that's important. And the mental health, like, you got to listen to your body. And there's sometimes just sitting there watching a movie with my husband, that's enough, you know, and try to keep a clean house. A clean house for me is a clean mind. I'll be hoovering and my ideas are flowing. I'm thinking, just because the house is getting cleaned.
So, I guess it irritates you when you're in a messy place. Otherwise, you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I'm distracted because I'm now cleaning when I should be maybe doing work on something. So that's how I still keep showing up. And I just pray God just keeps blessing that for me. I'm not like the cloud rain.
So are there any communities, tools, or people that really helped you along the way?
Yes, sir.
Well, I think you mentioned your friendship group, anyways, and your husband.
That one is important. I'm part of a community. It's called Made for More International. It's a CIC company, and it's for women. Majority of us are on there, BAME, but I don't think it's BAME. It's not just for BAME. It's so important to have a community, I believe. I've been in that community now for a good couple of years. You need that. Because some days you will go on there and you're like, guys, I'm crashing out. I need help. This happened today and I don't know what to do. And because everyone in there, I've never met 10% of the people in that group. But online, I've met them, you know. I couldn't see I could walk past them every day and not know. But you go on there, you like pour your heart into, I need help with this. This is happening. Please help. And people just flood into help. I went through this. Oh, my sister's done this. Let me find out for you. I've private messaged you. Let's do this. And you do that for them too. Because someone's like, their world is crashing down. Something that you have for breakfast. You know, someone's like, oh, maybe they can't send an email. And you know, you can send a good email in your sleep. And that's somebody's worst nightmare. And they bring it on there. You're helping them. So I think having a good community of like-minded people. So on the good days, we'll all come online as well and everybody's like, oh, this happened, or that happened. There was a time we're talking about outfits to go and meet somebody's in-laws or something. Or I've had this dynamic with this colleague at work and it's getting to, how do I fix it? Having a community, I think, is so important.
Definitely.
It's so important.
It's like what we mentioned earlier, like just information. It's key. It's mad how much just the right information can change everything for you. You could be just struggling that and somebody just, it's like, oh, snap. I didn't, even finance, like somebody could just be like, yeah, but have you heard of this place? You know, you can go and apply for it.
And you're like, I've been struggling with this thing for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. Like,
you know, on that group, somebody put something on 2-3 weeks ago and it was actually snap. It was somebody explaining how to tell a good story using a snap method. And it must have taken 10 seconds to share it. I saved that video. It was on WhatsApp. I went to find the original video, saved it, and I watch it every time I need to do something like this or anything I'm having to speak. I will go and just remind myself of this thing. That person might not remember
that they post. Yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of people just come in and help you and they don't realize the impact. Yeah, they don't realize the impact they made. And it's just like,
the times I run it through my life, like, if I was to say, oh, this thing, a lot of my change in life happened from first birthday party I went to. It's like, what do you mean? I went to a birthday party of a 1-year-old, and I think since that moment, my life has never been the same.
Wow.
It's crazy.
1-year-olds are important too. They change people's lives.
Please keep doing this party. It's
like, yeah, it was similar. One of my friends, two of my friends are married now, and they were like, you know what, we have your daughter, like they're talking to me, like, we have your daughter to thank for us meeting. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, because it's where we came to your daughter's her dedication that we met. So she basically, we hired her to do the catering and he came to it, and that's how they met.
And you're thinking, you're welcome.
Well, I said now, it, Robbie and then I said, thank you. I said it, and they're like, no, your daughter, not you.
I'm like, how much you pay for them, bumping like, or whatnot? I'm, you know, like, that's matchmaking service.
Thank you. I'm like, you say thank you to my daughter. I created it. Two, I'm the one created. If I not do the party, she would have
gone. Exactly. So, but, that's entrepreneurial. Yeah, like, what can I charge for? Any minute.
It's just crazy. Like, networking is very essential, though. It's like, it creates so... I mean, networking for the right reasons. Yes. Networking with the right people. Like, it's just key. Because sometimes it's not about just turning up.
No. Some people think... What are you going there to do?
I'm going to go turn up. Yeah, the DJ there is playing some wicked rhythms. Oh, there's some good food. Which is fine. But
if that's what you want to expel that energy, that's...
No, it's fine. I mean, now and again, it's good to unwind.
It's good to just, yeah.
It's good to unwind.
That's like, what you're going to do then, not...
It's like, very important to unwind too. Like, take your brain. But rather, I mean, go to a beach somewhere, go for a holiday.
Some people need to be in a club. Some people, that club is what helps them. Yeah. While somebody's like, I need complete serenity. Just leave me on the beach.
I think sometimes just a new setting. Yeah, like, because 100%. The thing is, even if you go to that club, it's still in Manchester. You go to that club, it's still in London. You know what I mean? But it's like, you could go to Mallorca and go to the club.
Exactly. That's a good point. Like, it hits different.
It's like...
If I had to go on a plane somewhere.
Yeah.
It just makes so much difference.
The travel time got you to think.
Yeah, that's the transition. That's the bridge that says we're working to now we're playing.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to explain that to my husband the next holiday. I just want to play. So please, we need to get on a plane to allow that to happen.
We'll give you the advice. This guy I met at this podcast. He'll be like, thunder fire you.
That guy. What's his name? Don't worry about that.
I beg. Don't give my name. Don't divulge.
Exactly.
I don't want him in the comment section.
Saying, you know, what's going on over there? What do you mean you're telling her she needs to get on a plane?
Thank you. What sort of advice is that, my guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's what do you wish someone told you when you first started?
It's not
easy. Is that anything?
It's not easy. I think it's good to let people know. Just tell them straight, this is not easy, but don't tell it to them in a way to crush them, you know, to say don't do it, it's not easy. It's more of like real talk. Someone sit you down and say, this thing you want to do, like when I started the cake business, for example, maybe if someone sat down and told me, you need this statement of why you're doing this business, and once you, because that's when you know you need to come out as well. If you've achieved what you're trying to do, maybe then you're done, that thing is done, and you have an exit strategy in your head to say, I'm trying to learn this skill. It doesn't have to be a business. It could just be that I'm not selling the cakes, but while I learn this skill, what am I trying to do? And once it's done, and I'm not demotivated. I wasn't like upset like I was, you know, then I know, no, what I was trying to achieve, I've achieved it. It's actually more of a win. Then, you know, I feel like, yeah, I can close this thing now because that's all I wanted to do, and I've done it. No one told me that to say, what are you trying to do? Because once you've achieved that part, that's, you know, you're fulfilled.
Like, just to understand that, to be honest, a lot of these things are like different phases to it. They have different phases. So it's like, phase one, I want to learn a skill. After that, probably
maybe I
phase,
take it further.
And if I don't, it's okay.
It's okay. So if I've got this statement of what I'm trying to do with both businesses, but it might come to a point when I feel like I've done that, it's okay, can I now level it up? What am I now trying to do? Where am I? You know, maybe I've now conquered Manchester with doing that thing. Okay, now let's go to the Northwest.
And it can be, I want to build businesses and sell them.
Yeah.
That's another angle.
Some people do that. Yeah. I heard of a woman, I can't remember her name now, 5 businesses, she built it and she's bang. That's all she does. She builds to sell. She was now giving tips on how to build to sell rather than building and you're this. Like, no, from day one of you registering that business, you know you want to sell it. Do these things to make sure you have a good strategy, because at the end of the day, you're trying to make yourself redundant. That's what you're trying to do. So you need to do that from day one, and that's okay. You know, some people just want to build and walk away, but make money while you're doing it, right?
Do it properly. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, we do it for fun, for hobby, whatnot, but like a lot of the motivation behind it is financial gain or financial comfortability. Let's put it that way. So financial freedom at best. So energy, that's the purpose. And sometimes it's like, what's the best business strategy for that business? It's like, yeah, I'm building it. As you say, we have multiple talents. We're multi-talented, so it doesn't end there. Whilst doing this business, I might be even thinking of another business. So it's okay to actually be like, oh, you know what, I've gotten it to this point.
Sayonara.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me go do the next one.
The next one, yeah. This business is here. Who wants to buy it?
Who wants to buy it?
You want to buy it? Cool. This is where it's up to. This is what it does. See you later. I'm over there. Now I sell houses, you know.
Would you recommend self-employment to others? Why and why not? Or why not?
I would recommend it if I think you have what it kind of takes. You know, so if I feel like you have a skill or something that people do pay for, I'd recommend it. But I'll also recommend if I think, yeah, you're someone that can stay up till 2.
Mm. Because the important thing is to know, is it for you? Are you cut out for it?
Yeah, because everyone's good at things, but not everyone is there.
And it's not. There's nothing wrong with work, with having a job, working for people. But I think the other thing, I think you mentioned it like the other day too, is like people should kind of understand when you even go for that, for employment, what's the, is it the career ladder path?
Mm-hmm.
If you are doing your business, you aim for successful business, yes, right? For it to be the most successful it can be, mm-hmm, right? So if you're working somewhere, why not be the best at it?
Yeah.
Why don't you want to be like the one close to the CEO, the one close to the founder? Be like, I want to be up there,
yeah,
which means it means I'm really good in my field and I'm really top. And again, you get to learn stuff like the secrets or the little nuances that make those businesses tick. And from there, you can go from that to actually being a successful business person yourself.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs...
Just invest in all these businesses.
Yeah, everybody needs a mentor.
Yeah. No matter what you do. Yeah.
And mentorship is another thing that has a big price tag. You can pay, charge people for...
People.
Yeah, people. Yeah. You know,
you want a personal coach? You want a mentor? You can.
Everything is a business, man. There's an angle to marketing selling every service, man.
Exactly. No matter what, if you're getting something for free from anyone,
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Just really, really, yeah, it's important. And that's why, you know, you only get things for free from your family and friends. So if you can tap into if they've tapped into what they're good at and you can tap into that with them, it's free for you. But don't take it for granted. Do not. A friend of mine did this event that I did last week and she was one of the speakers and we had our friends in there and a lot of them were like, what? Wow. Oh. And then I called her after. So this is what so I'm going to start. We've been friends for years.
So I see you all the time and this is what you
do. This is what you're doing, yeah?
And you've not been telling us.
She's like, why would she, you know? So you know what I wanted to touch on? You talk about the career side.
Mm.
And we talked about that as well last week. And it was it's something that, like I said, not everybody's built for entrepreneurship. That does not mean your life is over. If you're going to work and you know you're going to go on a career ladder, give it your best and do your best. Between that 9 and 5, think about how can you be best effective? How can you make yourself so valuable to your team and to yourself? Have your own personal development plan. If your boss is not sitting you down for a personal development plan, work on what you want to do in your life. Speak to your boss. These are the things I want to do and I'd like to do with this company and how can you help me? The boss self would be like, oh, this person's trying to be a good... They would not want to lose you.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to lose you. It means you're an asset to them. They would invest in you. You're now built. You're now in the room with the big boys. For start, there might be a boardroom meeting. They tell you to sit in one corner. You sit there because they trust you in that room. This is someone that's still employed. You go in 9 to 5. Your guy is thinking, but you should stay till 7. No, but you've done all your jobs because you're so effective, so efficient. They might tell you to train the whole team in efficiency because you've used AI to your advantage and a job that takes you 4 hours now takes you half an hour. Your boss is seeing that, okay, you've now got 3.5 hour free. Rather than you to now be scrolling on Instagram, guy, please, I've done this, I've done that. I've taken the initiative to do this, to help with this, or what help? What do you need for help? You're doing that with your boss. How do you think that boss feels?
You're making the job lighter.
Yeah. They're thinking, without this person, I can't do these things. So
You're making me look good, mate.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to keep you.
And so
what else do you need?
I know if you're not here, I won't look good. I won't be shiny. Like, because whoever is above me is like, yeah, good job, mate.
Good job.
And my name will be saying, oh, is he key? That's my sauce. I won't say that. Like,
But you look after her.
Yeah, of course. It's my special sauce. I don't want you to collect it now.
No, so it's a matter. So that person, kind of bosses, they will build you. And they want you to not, they might not want to travel.
Mm.
They would say, I want this person to travel with me because they know while they're on that trip, they're thinking about things you're not thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
So give your best. If you want to be a career person, there are ways to be the best about it. Mm. If there's an opportunity, put your hand up in the room.
there's nobody that's thinking, oh, is it only you? Yes, let it only be you. If the Mosi, she's the one that did this, they did, and so be your best version.
You're efficient. You're effective. Like,
you go home, you even feel good. Oh, at 5 o'clock, I went home and I did this and I did that. The boss said, if you say to the boss one day, please, I'm not going to come in today, I have this, no problem. Is there anything we need to do to help you and support you? Be good at that. Mm. And just to say, in that 9 to 5, be the best version of yourself in that 9 to 5. Make yourself, you know, like they always say, no one's, everybody's replaceable. That's fine, but you can still make yourself, you know. The boss knows that if I lose this person, hey, the world, it will feel like the world has collapsed. Make yourself that person. People work in care jobs and I just do this. Be the best of that. You don't know where it's going to serve you later, you know? So I won't say it's, you have to be unemployed. You don't have to be employed. Whichever route you choose to go on, just be the best at it. Your best version would just, you know, it goes far. It goes far. It's important.
So where can our listeners find you or your businesses online?
So with Hikmat Consultancy, you'll find me on LinkedIn. Just search Hikmat Adamu. I'm the only one. So they can find me there. With Unique Creations, you'll find me on Instagram on the unique is UNEEQ _ creations, but KREATIONS.
All right.
And you'll see a picture of me there again. Just different hat.
So you heard her. That's where we find Hikmat Adamu or Hiki. Yep. Actually, which of the names you prefer? For formal purposes, Hikmat.
Hikmat, but once we've met once or twice, it can be Hiki. Because Hikmat, it means something. It means wisdom. And I'm really trying to embrace that name. Hiki is a nickname.
Yeah.
So I want everyone to know my name. My name is Hikmat. But you can call me Hiki, but
You still know the name.
Because that, it means wisdom. It's a heavy name. It's a brilliant name. And obviously my surname, that's just, it's Adamu everywhere. Hiki Adamu, Hikmat Adamu. Yeah. Hiki, if we know each other, Hikmat, we want to put some respect on it.
Please put some respect on that name. It means wisdom.
Wisdom.
And she's so wise. So
that's why I'm stepping into it. Since I've been getting called that name more often.
Yeah.
The wisdom is wisdom.
You see? If I talk something and they go, the wisdom is wisdom. Wisdom. Now the name, not be the age.
No.
Any final words for aspiring creatives, entrepreneurs, or side hustlers?
Just be your best version. Do the best. Do your best. Have good people around you. And just keep showing up. Be consistent. Never give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Keep pushing.
Just keep going for it. You got this. You got this.
Oh, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank
you. I've had a good time.
I know.
I'm definitely back for like episode 50.
Oh, she made her mind up finally. She said episode 50.
Yeah, so we'll go up in 50s. And I'll do the 100 and the 150, the 200, you know.
So we'll be going up in 50s.
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be here.
So I hope you guys are here. What? You waiting for the... It depends how much, like, how quick I'll be giving you the episodes. It means you'll be back in no time.
Hey. When do I start charging you?
We'll talk about it. when I don't hammer.
But at this speed you will. You'll just like boom. And I'll be like, so
thank you very much, guys. This was DIY Digest Podcast episode 1. And we had a blast. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, check me on Instagram at Diamond Bay for now, but soon I'll be giving you guys a whole DIY Digest pod page to subscribe and follow. All right, until next time, peace.
I had a good time. Have you got your next guests lined up? Nice.
I do.
I'm excited for one episode 50, or not that exactly.